Sue and Vicki Golzer on an interview for the National Council of Jewish Women's Oral History Project number 2. We're interviewing Ed Steinfield. Where do you live, Ed?
Call me Eddie.
Eddie, okay, call me Eddie. Where do we live, Eddie?
4741 Coleridge Street, okay. Pittsburgh, 5201, which is standing.
Yeah, I forgot to let it go for the 10 seconds before we start. Okay, we're okay.
Okay, Eddie, last time we were here in February, you talked about different things you were selling and different things you were doing. Now, what would you like to tell us tonight?
I got to get my thoughts together because I've been jumping all around. Yeah. We haven't taken anything in sequence.
Mm-hmm. You want to view Pittsburgh's Jewish life today and compare it to the past, or the way we are in the relationship to the general community?
I think I mentioned to you in our discussion when we had Yiddish theater that the Orthodox Jewish community did not rise up and say, they're not have a show on Friday night, a Yiddish show on Friday mm-hmm. night. They were very tolerant of the Jew who wanted to go to a Yiddish show on Friday night or Saturday afternoon.
Really?
But today, the Jews or the religious element would rise up and say, oh, you dare not, which brings to mind what is going on in Israel today. There are Jews in Israel today who want to ride on the Sabbath and go to the beach on the Sabbath, yet you'll find the Orthodox Jews going out on the Sabbath with the wearing their yarmulkes or their hats and their garb, and will take stones and if they stone the people that are sitting in the car, they're driving in the car, and that's permissible. And,
Eddie, I read in the Chronicle, one of the last couple issues, about an organization,
Jewish Agenda?
No, they were interested in the Jewish culture and the Jewish language. It was the garment work. It was the Workman's Circle. Are you familiar with anything
there? Yes. The Workman's Circle was a fraternal organization, Yiddish fraternal organization, organized years ago by the people who were geared towards socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, they were under the influence of the Bundists, who were Jewish socialists, who did not and would not recognize Zionism, fought Zionism because they believed that Jews should not have Jews are not a nationalistic group, people with the sense of
they were against the homeland?
Yeah, they were against the homeland, so on and so forth. So I'm saying this was their philosophy, and they fought the Zionists, and the Forbes was more or less the spokesman for them. It was a paper they put out. And as the years went by, they started to accept the idea of a Jewish state. And same as the American Jewish Committee. The American Jewish Committee was not for Zionism. But now they will accept Zionism. They will accept a Jewish state. So same thing with the Arbiter Ring. And they came around. And there was time we had the joint function with the... years ago, when you bring in a Yiddish show together, or later, we call it just exactly, that they would not permit us to get up and sing the Hatikva.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, this was the feeling that they had here in Pittsburgh, too, at that time. And now, what they're talking about, they're trying to rejuvenate the Yiddish. All Yiddish-speaking organization which left it and want to revive the Yiddish language, but it was a, it would find itself as a separate group. universities, and we'll take representatives to get Latin. But there will be, in my opinion, there will be a hardcore group in this country which will further Yiddish, not because they're secularist Jews, not because they're non-believers, but it will come from the Hasidic groups, because Hebrew is not a spoken language for them. Hebrew is the Lashon HaKodesh, the holy tongue, and they can study the Bible. So when they do the translating, they translate the Yiddish. They do not translate from Hebrew to Hebrew, but they translate Yiddish to Hebrew or Hebrew to Yiddish. That is from the Bible, or from the Torah. Okay, they will keep alive the Yiddish language.
What did that do like with your work with Ms. Rossi? Didn't you work with
no,
him?
No.
Nothing.
I was a labor Zionist.
Labor Zionist is what? Paul Mizrahi?
No, labor Zionist.
What was that?
Labor Zionist, the labor movement of Israel. The Ben Gurions, the Golden Meir, the Ben Tzvi's.
And that's what you worked with?
Oh, yes. The labor movement of Israel.
Mm-hmm. How long were you with them, or when?
Well, I was always a labor Zionist from working mm-hmm. as the people who got in here, Holy Zion back in 1945. And we were very active in the Y and the Jewish youth. Of course, the Jewish youth were not involved too much. The radical Jewish youth found themselves, maybe not too many, but they found themselves in the young communist league, the young people socialist league. And those Jews who had a feeling for Zionism or labor, so the synthesis of labor and Zionism, or labor Zionism, and that. So we had a group here, we got a lot of spirit and the YMHA.
Did you raise money? Or did you
I would tell you that we were raising money with the Cushman, the little boss, we were going on Center Avenue, and going to some of the places where they would be playing cards just for parties, and I would ask them to contribute either to the Jewish National Fund or to the Hechel, which was the pioneer movement of Jewish youth who trained them to go to Israel to be farmers.
What did they do locally here as far as training them to be farmers? Or training them for Aliyah?
I think I mentioned to you there was a farm at in Halitz had in Cremeridge, New Jersey. I think I didn't know the name the last time we talked about it.
Cremeridge,
Cremeridge Street. And there were a group of young men and women who lived cooperatively there. And they went to, they got their training on a farm. Mostly they worked. I went to visit there one year last summer and spent a few weeks there. And I think I told you I was picking tomatoes and I supplied tomatoes to the camp for candle soup and I got the potatoes.
It wasn't and, Camden?
Cremeridge, New Jersey. As a matter of fact, at one time they had a paper cup there, an old paper cup. And the first Israel commander of the Air Force, was one part of his father was one of the leaders of labor Zionists, one of the Israelites. His name was Remez, and then Remez went out to live in Cremeridge, New Jersey, and he came over here, and went back to Israel, and brought his training, and he became the first air commander of the Israeli Air Force, learning the rudiments of the mm-hmm. aircraft that flying in Cremeridge, New Jersey. That was another interesting phase of my life. Living on a farm for a few weeks and living cooperatively. And there was another farm which was sponsored by the Shomer Zahir, which was left which was a Marxist, actually a Marxist Zionist, but they believed in nationalism, and they had a farm in New Jersey also where they trained kids to go to Israel. In those years, the British government only allowed one permits to go to Israel, and so many of the people who married for the sake of, not for the sake of marriage, but for the sake of getting a permit so two people can go to Israel on that one permit. It happened in this country, it happened also in Europe. This is a number of couples left this country. Mm-hmm. They were married, but actually they mm-hmm. married just in order to get the certificate.
What year are we talking about?
The 30s.
So 1930s.
They were in the 30s.
Well, like when you were interested in all the Mizrahi and Zionism.
I'm not Mizrahi, that's not good.
No, not that, I was saying. I heard you were a leader in that.
No, not Mizrahi, no, the Labor Zionist movement.
Oh, I'm wrong.
The Labor Zionist movement.
Let me just see what we're getting here, Big.
Okay. The Jewish theater while you were in this.
Well, yeah, this was, during the 30s, I participated in the organizational Labor Zionist movement, active in the Y, and also did some acting on the English stage, and I also was managing the Yiddish theater and the Orlando theater on Center Avenue. And the theater went through, and I would not say that I was self-sustaining. I had a home and my parents, and they fed me, and I had a place to sleep.
Did you ever have any formal training for theater or directing?
The only training I had was I went to Carnegie Tech in the 30s. Hold up, just hold it. That's the question. Stop.
What was the name of that Paris village?
The one,
Carson was Paris village, wasn't it?
I remember that when Eleanor Roosevelt came to Pittsburgh and made a whole dedication of the housing project. That was short, a few couple years after Roosevelt got into office.
Nothing significant happened in theater here, Jewish theater, for that in your life?
Oh yeah, we used to bring in the organization every year. We would bring in the Jewish company, they would do the Old Island Conference Settlement, the beginning of the year, and the Y, and we would do it separately, sometimes in conjunction with the Arbiter Region and the Western Circuit. That went on for quite a number of years, and we joined the unilateral presentation of the theater shows. They were more or less reviewed. They were not what we call a book show or a two-act.
Mm-hmm. How long would they come in?
They come in 2 hours.
Overnight. Did you ever travel with them at all?
No.
What organization brought them in?
Well, the Black Labor Zionist Alliance and the Western Circle.
They still bring them in once in a while, don't they?
Well, no, now I think pretty well. What they're doing now is trying to have some sort of what they call a Yiddish festival in conjunction with the YMHA, and they may bring a lecture in, or they may bring a movie in, and it's not the. People are not reasonably responding to it. It's unfortunate that, it's interesting that there are quite a number of Jews, who are in their objectives. Who knows Yiddish? I may not be able to speak it fluently. If you carry on a conversation, if they hear you talk,
they'll understand some of it and some of the stuff. And yeah, it's amazing. Well, maybe I'm symptomatic of all that stuff. You come in and then you put in and they say, oh, I'm sorry. What I should do, I should go to a Yiddish show or an Italian. Well, I should go to an Italian movie, you know, or this or that. And I think to perpetuate whatever heritage that we have. And unfortunately, we Jews look to just run away from our heritage and just, and don't look to perpetuate it. There was a recall shortly after the founding of the State of Israel. There was some sort of an upsurge among the Jews. Let's go to study Hebrew and want to know Hebrew. And so they have courses at the Y, and they have courses at the Hebrew Institute for adults, you know, to learn Hebrew. That petered out, and okay, now we still got doing business as usual, and
No more interest.
I don't think so. The only thing that I foresee that if there is going to be a Jewish community in this country, it will be done. What will be done in this country? Place. By Jews, whether written by Jews or non-Jews, will be in English. And this will be the only connection with the theater, with the English language, and the non-Jewish. It will not even be Hebrew. And as the Jews in this country, I don't think they'll take the time to study Hebrew or Yiddish. Foster of support, a Yiddish through the theater. Again, you know, a number of years ago, the Negro Demo was leaving the picture that the Israeli school harmonic orchestra, and they brought the involved dancers, and couple of years they brought the Israeli basketball team was touring, and so. But now, what do you have now? So you'll have May 1st, 1984. The UJF is going to have a program at the Sultan Center. They have the Israeli group coming through soon, and this will be free to the Jewish community. So Jews will go because it's for nothing, and they'll hear some songs being sung in Hebrew. The Federation. I do not see anything that has any substance to do anything in regards of not religious Judaism, but Judaism, which brings me to a subject which is yours. There are two groups in New York who are presenting Jewish plays. Well, it's called the Jewish Repertory Theater, and there's two of them in New York. And I don't know what crowd they're getting, but these are Jews who felt that we should do something to perpetuate the Jewish, not in English. And they're also actors. So, now, here is a community, 45,000, 50,000. I see there's a Christian group that puts plays on by a Christian group. I don't see why. Like Victor Cavalier one time approached me and asked me after the year I started Hart for Davis and I was doing the theater there at the producing gallery in the county. The theater, he said, well, if you could do it there, why can't you, with your interest in producing, why not? And I said, do I do it at the Royal Shalom Temple? I used to charge anything. Actors, I could get them, and
afraid of. I met with him and then I told him I had an idea what it would cost. The budget was money, you know. And he came by the point, you know, and we spoke about it, but didn't book the ticket. We got a YMHA with an auditorium, a theater, and then lights and whatnot. He said, well, look, stop to think. People told me this. They're having this series now. They brought in Lenny Kazan, they brought in Red Button, and they brought in this professor and they're charging for the members $15, the non-members $17 just to go in and be entertained. So what they're doing, they're competing with a Stanley or with, a nightclub to bring in a comedian. So what is the Jewish content? These are Jews, you see, who are appearing, and no doubt they're maybe sing a Yiddish song, a Hebrew song, or tell some Jewish jokes, so on and so forth. And in this being underwritten by Gene Wolfe, something or other, or so on and so forth, you need to tell me they could not. The 30s, for the YMHA, it's the finest little theater we had in Pittsburgh. That was a little theater. Then when the pass came along, the pass was number one, Pittsburgh pass. And they supplied actors to the Pittsburgh pass. And I think the why to the playoff, that's why I started with the Pittsburgh pass, because of the YMHA. And to think today, with so many plays dealing with Jewish problems, with Jewish humor, Jewish content. I venture to say there must be today roughly about 20 to 25 plays dealing with Jews. About Jews. And why is it back in the YMHA?
Tell us about the Playhouse. You went from the Y to the Playhouse?
Yeah, I went to the Y to the Playhouse in 1936, I think. And there were two Jewish characters in this play called Excursion. And so I was sent over and brought in the Pearl Levitin here, the first two Jews who went over there, and they played the whole Jew, and he played the whole Jewish thing, and that's how it was. And then from there it started to, the playoff started to draw from the wide actors, and I'm trying to remember, I don't want to start mentioning names, because if I mention names, I might leave somebody out.
Yeah.
And I don't
I don't
want to mention any names. I'll tell you how I said that. There were many good actors who came from the Y to the Pittsburgh Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I say today it's really a shame. We had died attempted in the 60s produced Harry Gordon's play, and produced The Tenth Man, beautiful show, produced it, also acted it. And then they wanted to make the news a dime. I got the actors, Tito Boston, he helped me, produced the show. They didn't lose any money, but they didn't want to pursue it, I'm too much of a producer to know, so they decided what they can do. They did another show, and they got somebody else to do it, but with the JV, and we got disgusted, and said after that, they want no parts of the wide, then they had some schnitzer who, they wanted to be the Balabat, and so on and so forth. And as I talked to this director before this, I talked to him years ago. What do you think about it? So, look, I I feel sorry for the producer.
But you were a producer, not a director. Producer?
Oh, I know. I've also directed the one I played. When I played concerts, I had it for the matter of fact, I came across it for the program that I directed a show that when I played concerts called The Color Film, which was in the world of Philip Millette. It played this in 6 years. It played on Broadway, it played on TV, we did it with the Wild Playhouse. But now that it's...
You're talking about Playhouse. You're talking about my Playhouse? Or you...
No, I'm talking about Pittsburgh.
Tell us about this one-act contest.
That was at the Y.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, I mean, they had been for a few years, the Y was with their clubs. They were in one-act play contest. It was in the 50s, they were in a one-act play contest. At that time, they were still... the clubs were still, in vogue at that time, and they were going to play concerts. Everything has changed, and I think that the... I don't know, and I'll be very honest with you, I do not know what direction a wine maker in this community is going vis-a-vis Jewish continuity in the deep sense. We're not an educational institution. That's as opposed to Jewish education institutions. School of Ancient Studies, the Hebrew Institute, and there are the synagogues. We have classes we do at the Sunday schools. But the Jewish Community Center, to be that type of a center, or YMHH, is further than the leisure activities, things that have to do with the Judaism. Because the kid that goes out of Hebrew school, what's he do with the 2 hours that he was studying before? What's the Jewish community system? They go to the synagogue?
Were you doing that for a livelihood then?
No.
Were you with brushes at the time?
I was all volunteer work. As a matter of fact, even today, I directed Temple of Emmanuel, I was called, and I directed a play out there, reading the book of the Jewish conference. And they enjoyed it. I didn't charge them money. I grabbed his book. Brother's Judaism, and I don't make a living from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, how do you, we have a Pittsburgh Jewish community now. How do you think, or what weight do you think it has in the general community? How do you think the Jews stand, or the Jewish community, how do we stand, in the city of Pittsburgh?
We have a club. We have a lot of clubs, political clubs, and the people who are very much involved in politics, whether by direct participation or by giving money. I have to mention Cyril West. Whatever show comes here, he is, and he still has club, even though he's not a county commissioner. He has club because it's kind of Democratic Party. And I saw by him a few days ago, he's going to go to be re-elected. And he has a say in statewide politics. And then there are others who, like a Bill Baskin, who raises and gives money. I say that the Jews play a very important role in the political scheme. In the cultural scheme, I would say to you, they're minor leaguers. They're not major leaguers. The establishment, the non-Jewish establishment, well, that's the Jewish community. The Jews only get to go so far. That's a period, I guess. The only two groups that the Jews have some say in, and one was the Well, partly because of money. I mean, there's a body called to put the ballet. She started that because of the money, and she needed a handle, and she couldn't get the handle to the other thing. And then also, John Apte started the public theater. And so there are Jews who were on the board, and that kind of thing. But as far as to say that the others, not to bother about it. Although the Jews would like to be, but the door is closed. Unfortunate thing is that Jew doesn't realize that he's kept out because of fear.
You see it where you work in county government with him?
No, I bet I don't see it.